Welcome to Conquering Our Unseen Enemies. In this podcast, we help believers develop spiritual discernment. I am your host, Dawn Simmons, author, speaker, and YouTube host of Life Journey with Dawn Simmons. My purpose here is to explain Satan's strategies and how his kingdom functions to better equip you in reducing conflict, chaos, and ultimately eliminate Satan's influence in your life. These are life-changing conversations. We'll get started with this week's message in just a few moments, but first I want to ask you, would you like to know more about biblical history or historic and biblical places? Visit my YouTube channel, Life Journey with Dawn Simmons, to watch and learn about travels in historic areas discussed in the Bible. Come with us as we explore ancient places and share cultural background and influences on early Christianity. We will take you places where Paul wrote and shared the gospel. That's Life Journey with Dawn Simmons on YouTube. Welcome back. I am your host, Dawn Simmons, and in this episode of Conquering Our Unseen Enemies, we're going to be doing something very different than our usual episodes. This is somewhat of a departure from our discussion on the spiritual gifts, but as we discuss today's topics, you will see how the spiritual gifts are used in this. So this is the first of two parts of this discussion. As controversial as this topic may be for some, I wanted to walk you through what a deliverance is like, what happens, so you're aware and understand what was a large part of Jesus's ministry. About one third of what we know he dealt with in his ministry was casting out demons. Jesus directed us to continue his ministry. Mark 16:14 says this. Now, this was after his resurrection. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those had seen him, those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and they will drink anything deadly. It will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, they will recover." So this is the framework from which we're working here. So before we begin, I want to lay some groundwork for this conversation. First, what I'm going to share with you is likely going to challenge what some of you may think or have heard regarding deliverance in Christians. Many Christians believe this cannot happen to someone who is a believer, but I am showing you or telling you a true situation of demonization of a believer. Know that our focus is not the religious challenges, but rather the process and the experience of the deliverance. Second, I am sharing my process and the details from a recent deliverance. The purpose of sharing this is to demystify and destigmatize the deliverance process. Few people go through it, but it's not something to be ashamed of doing. We could all probably use this at some level in our lives, no matter where we are. Third, we are going to be talking about a real person and her walk through this process. This person is a believer, has been raised in the church, and baptized. I do have her permission to share her story. I am sharing what happened, and everyone has the choice to believe or not believe. That said, let's get going. I don't know if I've spoken of this much, but I do have a deliverance ministry. I don't advertise or speak much about it. It is something I do, but not my main focus. Despite this podcast, you might think that's all I was focused on, but it's not. Talking about it makes some people uncomfortable because they think of deliverance in the way that horror movies depict them. And then people think you're a little too far out there, and then things go sideways in conversations. People who come to me and want to talk too much about them or ask too many questions tend to be on the side of sensationalizing these, and that's not what I'm interested in doing. I have seen some unusual things, and we will talk about those things in this discussion, because there were some unusual events in this, but by and large, it's all manageable, and rooms or houses aren't destroyed, and I'm not yelling at people to go into the light, Carrie Ann. So it's not like that at all. What I find is people become fascinated by all this dramatic, crazy, freaky stuff, and then that's all they want to hear about. It's not a game. The freaky stuff happens. It's real. Demons are real. We have to deal with them or they'll deal with us. But don't glorify the freaky. Glorify the authority we have over the freaky. That's what is important. Okay, I think you all get where I'm coming from and where I'm not coming from. So let's move forward and I'll tell you the story and the process of my most recent deliverance. This last stage of the deliverance was 2 days ago, but to know the whole story, we have to go back about a year and a half. Anytime I work with someone on a deliverance, there is always prep work. Time spent understanding the person. What are they wanting to accomplish? What are they seeing? What do they know is happening, and what are they willing to do for the resolution? I began speaking to this woman. We will, of course, call her Jane, as we do with all of our people. We maintain anonymity. Jane and I began talking as she was going through a traumatic event. Through those conversations is where I understood her position in Christ. She was raised in the church, but had gotten very lost along the way into adulthood. Now, when life was pressing in on her during this time, she was fighting back and was confused, and she was directing her confusion at a God she thought was heartless. After about 4 months of working with her, she had shifted in her thinking and her belief of God, not entirely, but it was a good shift. And she told me she knew she had a demonic influence and wanted to get rid of it. She knew it was holding her back in many areas of her life. So I agreed to help her, but she had to do some homework first. She had to identify what she knew was influencing her. You have to know. You have to be able to identify by name what the demonic influence is, because we will need that information later. Without it, we can't complete a deliverance. To give you a framework, I only ever work with people who have accepted Jesus as their Savior. A deliverance cannot be successful without that, because that is what gives us the authority to evict the enemy. Nothing else gives us that authority, only Jesus. When I'm working on a deliverance, the Lord will usually give me a word of knowledge, something I could only know because it was revealed by Him. It's something about this person. So in this case, I knew that one of the issues she had been dealing with was infirmity, numerous kinds, and it was since birth. The Lord explained that in her case, it began while she was still in the womb in a prayer that was prayed in ignorance over her. So that gave us an understanding of why she has always been plagued with all of these illnesses that the doctors have not always been able to diagnose. Even to the point she has very few foods, try and say that fast a few times. So she has very few foods she's been able to eat because she can't digest anything. Fast forward, she came back to me with her homework done. So we spent 4 hours one afternoon about a year ago going through the process, the deliverance process. Now, the steps of the process I will go through as I tell you about her second deliverance, which was the one 2 days ago. Here, I want to talk to you about what happened in the first deliverance and how it led her to do more work to understand herself and ultimately to the place where she knew she needed to finish the job and ask for a second deliverance. During the deliverance, there are a number of things I have people say. Ultimately, I can only do what the person has agreed to do. So I have to speak it out, and then I follow with the casting out of demons. On this particular day, we had our list of demons. That's part of their homework. And I was going through and calling out these demons. It's a long process. Some demons go right away. Some do not. You never really know what is going on or what's going to happen. So you always have all the things you need readily available. So tissue is a must. There's always crying involved. You may need a trash can or at least a trash bag. And I like to have wipes for any cleanup. I like those water wipes because then there's not that like medicine-y or alcohol-iness about them. And people can just clean up, you know, make themselves presentable again. This is just little background stuff. So because it's true that these situations can be messy. And the last thing you need is the person worry about how they look as they're experiencing this. Manifestations can be ugly. On this first deliverance, she cried a lot. My job as I'm casting out the demons is to watch her, look for the manifestations because it tells me when a demon is leaving. It reveals when one is being stubborn. There are no set standards on what it looks like, so time and experience is your guide outside of the Holy Spirit telling you what is happening. If you're able to see in the spirit realm, sometimes you can see it. This is a way that will, you know, give you some information, but not always. So I don't rely on any one way, but rather all these things working together and confirmation from the Holy Spirit. For Jane, her manifestations in this first deliverance included a lot of coughing, and I mean a lot of coughing. When a demon exits, it can go out with a whisper or it can go out with a roar. Depending on their mood, they decide how they exit. As I called names and coughing occurred, we were getting rid of some. As we progressed, the coughing turned into, and I don't want to be gross here, so use your imagination, because let's just say ugly, really ugly globs were coming up of different sizes. Sizes can tell you about their strength. It may seem crazy that there were so many we were dealing with, but think to any of my episodes where I talk about a demon and then all the others that come alongside it and work to make things worse. It's a system. The stronger the system, the harder it is to get them out. In Jane's case, remember, we had a whole life of these things accumulating. They were also not just accumulating, but in such a way that they were bonding together. And so you were having to break that. And it's very, very difficult. They don't want to go. even though there were a lot of manifestations occurring, I knew at the end of our session, we just were not done. She felt better. She needed about 45 minutes to pull herself together afterward. She spent time in prayer. I gave her some space and time alone. She had done all that she was able to at that time. You can't force anything. A person going through this has to be fully engaged, fully invested, and sometimes their fully is only partially them. We still need to rejoice in the progress we made. The one thing that is really important in these moments is to have faith. Faith that you are rid of the ugly and you can move forward with Him. You want the Holy Spirit to replace that void you just created. We talked through how she can support her faith and grow in this season. So I continued to follow up with Jane and saw vast improvement after this first deliverance. Now, the first deliverance was probably about 4 hours of coughing, and you know, there was a resistance, and we're having to go back through and have the Holy Spirit guide us. But I could tell you at the end of that first deliverance, I knew that there was something still there. We were not done. But again, I can only do so much. Much of the work that goes into these deliverances has to be done by the individual. The individual has to be the one ultimately to say what they will and won't accept in their lives. About a year after the first deliverance, Jane was asking for more time, more guidance, and knew that she needed more. She couldn't understand what was going on with her. She was sick all the time, having a lot of fears. She's had counseling most of her life. She wasn't interested in that anymore because it wasn't resolving the issues. It was giving her ways to manage her issues, which she was using. I agreed to start meeting with her again, but like before, we needed to talk so I could get more details on where she was at that point. We had to identify what was going on and how it was going on with her. I don't want to go through the motions with another deliverance, you know, if we aren't able to ever resolve our issues. She was holding back, and she finally admitted it. So now we had to find out why. I've seen this phenomenon multiple times with people who are struggling and want deliverance, but when push comes to shove and we get down into it, the demons they have, they're comfortable in their uncomfortableness. That's what they know. So people become used to their issues, and there's a reluctance to let it go for a myriad of reasons. As I describe for you what happened in the second deliverance, I hope to do the explanation justice as I walk you through the afternoon. From the time she asked for another deliverance to when we actually did it was about 4 weeks. The thing with this process is you don't rush it. There is no need to rush it. When you're working with the Lord on something, and in this you are always working with the Lord, you can either do things correctly or you can do things incorrectly. In this case, Jane had some areas the Lord was working with her on. So we had to go by His timing, not Jane's timing. One thing she did was a week-long fast. This was her own idea, not something I asked her to do or not do. She was seeking Him and wanted to use a fast as her way to submit and be vulnerable. A lot came out of that fast for her, but she, you know, there was still more He was doing with her, and she needed to get through that. She needed to understand that and hear Him. So I invited her to an event I was hosting. It was a Holy Spirit night where we would experience the presence of the Lord as a group. And that was a good experience for her. It helped to prepare her heart for what was coming next. The Lord told me after the Holy Spirit night, we could do the deliverance. He gave me some words of knowledge again about her, so I knew how to approach the deliverance and told me he was going to move during that time. We met a few days ago, and I will walk you through our process and explain how it turned out for her. The first thing we did was to identify the demons again so we were on the same page. Once we had our game plan, then I had her recite that Jesus was her Savior and who Jesus is. And he is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for our sins and rose again so that we can have forgiveness and eternal life. This is really important to reiterate her faith. Without it, we have nothing. There's no authority. From there, she renounced pride, religious spirits, anything not of him, and acknowledged who God is. And in that, she included the scripture, James 1:17. In this process, it's important to make sure we aren't carrying any unforgiveness. So she asked for forgiveness and asked him to reveal anything at that time that was unresolved. Sometimes we forget about an unresolved bitter or hatred towards someone, and we want to clear all that out. Holding any of that could mean we don't have full authority to evict the enemy. It could give the enemy the legal right to remain. After that, we're looking to make sure we don't have any sins we haven't acknowledged or repented of, you know, anything that we've done knowingly or unknowingly. We ask that anything we've missed be revealed at that time. Little things, sometimes things we say or do against someone that we don't readily recognize as sinful in nature, are brought to our remembrance during this time. So we pause for those last two things. Give the Lord a few minutes to bring something up so that that can be addressed. After that, then we move on to make sure we're breaking all ties to any false religions, any cults, any witchcraft, anything where he's not at the center. Again, this is hugely important because if we've participated in something, we're allowing it and it has the right to remain in our life. At this time, we also ask to be released from any curses that are in our lives. There can be generational curses that we're unaware of, and we want to sever that. But also, we could be doing something that allows a curse to access areas of our life. Now, at this point, I ask the person, Jane in our case, to submit themselves to Jesus and take authority over the enemy. We want to rebuke the enemy in the name of Jesus and any plans, strategies, or activities that he's doing in our lives. Now, we're ready to begin the eviction process. I had Jane recite an eviction notice to the enemy in the name of Jesus. She tells the demons they have no legal rights over her and commands them to leave. This process will work if you're doing a self-deliverance. But there are times, such as this situation with James, where you may need some help or you want some help, you know, some support in this. So that's where I step in and begin my part. My part centers around the pre-work we did where we identified the demons. At this point, I begin to name the demons individually and cast them out. Normally, when demons are cast out, we do not have authority to tell them where to go. I've heard people do deliverances where they cast out demons to the pit of hell or something along that line, and this is not biblical. When Jesus cast out demons, he did no such things. We cannot cast them to hell because it's not their time to be cast into hell. No one knows when that time is. So when I hear someone doing that, I wonder why they're going beyond what their authority allows. The only time I ever saw Jesus cast anything out and it was when and into something else was when he cast the demons into the pigs. And the only reason he did that was because those demons specifically asked for it. So demons don't, they want to have a person, or they'll take an animal, but they want to have a human that they're housed in. They don't want to be out roaming. So they asked to go into the pigs, which he allowed. And we know that, that the pigs then went over the cliff into the water and drowned, leaving the demons again homeless. So, you know, he agreed to their request and he sent them into the pigs. Now, the only exception to this is if the Holy Spirit specifically tells you to send them somewhere. And in this case, he did tell me to send them somewhere specific, which was not hell, by the way. Now, this is actually a really good place to break for this part one episode. So we've gone over the first deliverance. We've walked through the steps. And I've told you that I'm at the point where I'm starting to name the demons. So next week, I'll be walking you through what happened as I began to name the demons. Now, not all of them were cooperative, so I'll share the details of which demons were being stubborn, how they were being stubborn, the different manifestations. I experienced a new manifestation during this one, and how we handled that stubbornness, and ultimately, you know, what had to happen in order for her to be free. This episode has been relatively straightforward. The next episode, where I start to describe some of these manifestations in detail, if this is not something you want to hear, then maybe you don't want to come back for part two. But I am going to, you know, describe some things that may be more difficult to believe, or maybe you don't want to, you know, to hear things that are quite that descriptive. I do hope you have enjoyed our time discussing the deliverance process. That sounds really odd to say, but I do hope it helped to build your understanding. We cannot fully conquer our unseen enemies until we understand everything the Holy Spirit makes available to us. Week, and looking forward to spending time with you again next week when we finish our discussion on deliverance. That is all we have for this week's episode of Conquering Our Unseen Enemies. I hope you enjoyed your time with me, and I would kindly ask you to rate our show and follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Conquering Our Unseen Enemies. Now, if you have a story or a question you want to share, please email me at contact@conqueringourunseenenemies.com. We do not need to use your name. And finally, please share this podcast with anyone you think might need it and enjoy it. So until next time, remember, the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy, but we can give him an eviction notice.